as we think of the people in Haiti. God has the ability to deliver us from pits, right? He does. I thank God for those rescue men, the men and women there working on that. God has the ability to take us through personal disaster in our lives, right? There are many people there, right, who haven't come out. Right? God has the ability to even take us through those situations as we trust in Him. He has the ability to teach us in the middle of great struggle. He has the ability, even more amazingly, I think, to take what we've been through and to make us a blessing to other people in the process. It's incredible. So today we're going to focus again our attention on leadership from the bottom up. Right? What the sons of Korah learned, right? They're starting to come up from the tragedy in their own lives. The sons of Korah, whose son that Elizabeth and Russell read earlier, were at the bottom. Just to sum it up quick, we already know that they had lost their families. They had lost their jobs, right? They were doorkeepers in the temple. They had lost their standing in the community. By the time Psalm 44 and Psalm 84 were written, things had changed in their lives, right? God had done incredible things in their lives, and they write about them in the Psalms. So that 12 of the Psalms, right, bear their authorship. It's just so amazing what God did in their lives. Along the way, through this process, they had learned some very important lessons. They had learned these lessons not from the pages of a textbook, not by going to some seminar, not from a self-help book, which are all really good things that could help us in times of crisis. But the sons of Korah had learned their lessons through great tragedy and through going through that tragedy with God. I was in a meeting last week with the superintendent, and he said to me, you know, I always get a little bit nervous when a leader or a pastor, or a business person has always had things go their way. I suppose there are stories out there of successful people who have just skyrocketed to the top of their profession and stayed there the whole time without any detours or stops along the way. I suppose that those stories exist, but I just don't know of any. And even if those kinds of people are out there, people who just rocket to the top without any setbacks, I'm not too sure I want a person like that to be my leader, because everyone I know has experienced setbacks. I'd be afraid, because I think to myself, man, that person could never relate to the situation that I'm in. Even Jesus, it says in Scripture, was tempted in all ways like we are, right? Yet without sin. Even Jesus, Scripture tells us, learned obedience by what He suffered. There are some lessons in life that you only learn through suffering hard times. So what can we learn from the sons of Korah? What can we learn about leadership from the bottom up? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. The first is that all people who go on to accomplish anything in life that's really worthwhile, experience setbacks. You know, some of the people that I have known in my life who just exude the Spirit of Jesus Christ have gone through the greatest tragedies. It's just so consistent in my experience. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this except to say that it's true. It is true. A number of years ago, a woman by the name of Mildred Gortzel, any Mildred Gortzel fans out there? Nobody. I had heard of a little bit of her work a few years ago. She conducted this study where she researched the backgrounds of 300 highly successful people in all these different fields. Here's what she found. Some of what she found. She said all 300 of these people made it to the very top. They were at the top of their professions. All were names that we know their names. Names like Franklin Roosevelt and Helen Keller and Albert Schweitzer and Clara Barton and Albert Einstein, maybe you've heard of him, Sigmund Freud. Gandhi. Here's what the study found. She said that three-fourths of the people, three-quarters, three out of every four on the list, had troubled childhood. Either by poverty, broken homes, rejection, or overpossessive or dominating parents. Right? They did not come from perfect homes. 74 of the 85 writers on the list, 16 of the poets, came from homes where as children they either saw or experienced physical, emotional, or spiritual abuse. More than 75 of the 300 had some kind of a demonstrative physical handicap. Things like blindness or deafness or a crippled limb. And yet every single one of them on this list somehow recognized that there was an advantage even through their disadvantage and became the person that they later came to be. I believe really the person that God had intended them to be. All people who go on to experience anything truly worthwhile experience setbacks. They do. Very often the difference between success and failure is the person who conducts one more experiment, attempts one more project, goes to one more job interview, gets there 15 minutes early, gets up off the mat one more time. It's the difference. It's not that great. All people who experience anything worthwhile experience setbacks. But this is important. They don't allow themselves to be defined by those setbacks. People love to define other people by their setbacks. But people who go on to achieve great things just don't allow that to happen. Secondly, though, leadership from the bottom up learns that God can make a way, right? Even when it seems absolutely impossible, even when it seems like there's no way. Joanne, your situation is absolutely amazing. You should have lost your house six times. I could probably name six other people who lost their home, but they just didn't because you were so persistent. Right? You were like a nag to God and the mortgage company. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, people who never learn this lesson allow the problem, whatever that problem is, whatever that situation is, people who never learn this lesson allow the problem, allow again the world's definition of failure. They allow what other people say about them to determine who they are and what they become. They'll do that. Listen to what God says through the sons of Korah, Psalm 84:6. I love this. Psalm 84:6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, right? Beware of valleys named Baca. I get a story. I can tell them. I was going to tell them in the beginning, but I couldn't. All you guys know I'm a baseball fan. I think this happened last year. There was a pitcher on the Yankees. This guy was pitching. He was coming back from an injury. Went to pitch in the game. Let up 9 runs in the game. And pitching coach came out and said, "Son, I believe it's time that we change pitchers." And the guy said, "Coach, I struck this guy out last time." And the pitcher said, "Son, I know, but we're still in the first inning." Right? People who succeed don't allow other people to limit it. Listen, again, back to the sons of Korah. As they pass through the valley of Baca, I can't believe I did that little redress there. So forgive me. But Baca means weeping or dryness. Right? That's what the word means. As they pass through the valley of weeping, as they pass through emotional setbacks and difficulties, it says in Psalm 84:6, they make it a place of springs. They make it a place of spring. In the middle of their own dryness, they make it a place of spring. Let me ask you a question. Who's the spring for? Anybody? It's for others. It's for them. But I have to tell you, especially if you're living in the desert, if you're living in the Middle East, a spring isn't just for you or you're not going to live too long. Right? A spring is for others. A spring is for other weary travelers who are traveling along the same way that you are. And it says about these people, as they travel through this valley of weeping and difficulty, they make it into a spring. A spring starts to form. Jesus said that those who believe in me, out of their innermost beings, will flow these rivers of living water. Right? Not just for themselves. Right? The river just doesn't flow. What happens with water if it just flows and stays there? Yeah, the Dead Sea. It gets really stagnant. Right? We haven't become Christians just for ourselves. So those who believe in me, the river, Jesus says, flows out of them. Right? Blessing just flows out of them. Jesus says, for people who believe in me, they become people who bless others. Right? Just by, sometimes just by your very presence, you bless other people. Again, not just for themselves, but for those around them who are thirsty. Right? The world, people out there in the world are just so thirsty for something real. So how does that begin to happen? Verse 7 of Psalm 84 says, these type of people, basically, go on from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Verse 5, if you roll it back 2 verses, says this, these type of people set their hearts on pilgrimage. Their hearts are set on pilgrimage. You know, the King James has a different translation, and it's really better. The King James says it this way. The King James says about these people, it says, in whose hearts, in the hearts of these people, are the highways to Zion. In their hearts. There's this highway. Zion is where God lives. Right? Through these people, right, life comes and their heart becomes like a highway. Let me ask you, when the Lord looks at your heart this morning, is your heart a highway to Zion? Is there a connection between what you want and what you desire, what your will is, and the will of God? If there's not, there can be. God wants to set your heart on pilgrimage. He wants the highway to Zion. That leads through your heart. Leadership that comes up from the bottom recognizes that. Right? Everyone experiences what? Setbacks. Called life. Everybody experiences setbacks. Second thing that they learn is that God can make a way, right? No matter what people say, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can make a way. When people say there's no way, when people say it can't happen in your life, God can make a way. Right? They choose to focus on God instead of focusing on people and circumstances and situations. But thirdly, they realize that God has already made a way. He's already made a way for us. Remember Psalm 44, right? I love when you guys are reading it. The sons of the court say, we've heard the stories, Lord, right? We know the stories. We heard what you did in previous generations, right? They're remembering. We've heard, right? They're thinking back and they're thinking and saying that phrase. We've heard about your deliverance from Egypt, right? We've heard, God. Like, as we've been driven out of the community, as our family has fallen down into the pit, as we've been ostracized, God, we've heard what you did in the past. God, you can do it again. For those of us a little bit further around the world, down the road, right? We've heard what Jesus did in the gospel. We've heard that. We heard about this thing called the resurrection, right? not a lot of hope there when you're dead laying in the grave for 3 days. We've heard the stories. A few of us in this room have even read the book of Acts. If you're here and if you're a Methodist, you've heard about John Wesley somewhere. If you're a Free Methodist, maybe you've heard about this guy called B.T. Roberts. Maybe. If you're Catholic, man, you've heard about St. Francis of Assisi. I was raised Catholic. I knew all about St. Francis. You've heard about Mother Teresa. If you're a Lutheran, you've heard about Martin Luther, how he transformed the church in his generation. If you're a Yankee fan, you've heard of Babe Ruth. The point is this. For all those people that I named, all those guys and girls, and I'm originally from New Jersey, so guy is like a generic thing. It applies to male and female. You know that, right? So I'm not really that sexist. But the main point is this. All those guys didn't accomplish those things because they were so great. They weren't. I tried to borrow, I wasn't going to use this illustration because it's so old and tired. Do you know who Pete Rose was? Anybody know who Pete Rose was? Raise your hand. Right? He had a lot of problems later on, but more hits than anybody else in baseball history. Pete Rose was cut from his Little League baseball team. Wasn't good enough to play Little League. Man, the stories just go on. I think the same thing happened to Michael Jordan. Right? When he was like a sophomore in high school. Right? But the difference between these guys and so many of us is they don't quit. But these people, those spiritual people that I mentioned, right, accomplished great things because they learned that God was great. They were consumed with the greatness of God. In case you haven't heard this, Babe Ruth, I don't know why Babe Ruth is in there, but in case you haven't heard this, B.T. Roberts, Martin Luther, John Wesley, had issues. They had issues, man. You don't hear your pastors talking about it. They had to read some church history. They had issues. But what they learned that so many of us don't learn, they learned to surrender their lives and that God could work through them as they were in submission to God. And again, the main point is, and the desire for that highway to flow through our heart is, Lord, can you do it again in me? Right? If you did it in them, God, can you do it in me? I think it was D.L. Moody who said, right, greatest evangelism of a long time ago, 100 years ago, or D.L. Moody said, heard a guy preach a message where the guy said the world has never seen what God could do through a man that is fully submitted to him. And D.L. Moody said, I decided to be that man when I heard that message. The question is, Lord, can you do it again in me? No, it's not about your setbacks. It's not about that at all. God can make a way. It's not about your setbacks. God has made a way for you. As you trust and surrender your life to Him, it's not about your setbacks. God will make a way. Will make a way. As you open your heart to Him and surrender, God will do it. Psalm 84:4 says, through you, we can push back the enemy. Right? Through you, we can trample a troop. God. In Christ, it's not the bow, the sword, our own power, our strength, our cleverness that wins the day, but it's you, God. It's your name being lifted up. It's your glory. It's your victory that will complete what God has begun. You know, I was reading over this message again this morning and praying in the sanctuary, and I read that passage about passing through the valley of weeping and making it a place of springs. The next part is so great. because it says the autumn rains will come and cover the pools. Right? There's rains that come in the spring. And if you're like most of us in this room, when you were younger, you might have totally missed it. God might have been saying, go here, and what did you do? You went there. Right? The promise is, right, as we go on pilgrimage, and we let the highway flow through our heart, God can make the latter rains greater than the former rains. Right? He can turn it into a place of food. The leadership from the bottom up experiences setbacks and knows God can make a way, God has made a way, God will make a way because He loves us. Isn't that great? He loves us. He loves us. And that's the kind of leadership, that's the kind of God we can trust our lives to.